One of the keys to understanding any biblical text is context. When writing a sermon, context is vital. When reading the Bible, context is vital. It's important to know what has come before the passage we're looking at, and it's important to know what comes after. It's important to know how it fits in to the book and the wider section of which it is found in. And as we come to Psalm 34, this is no different. The context is vital. The inscription of Psalm 34 says of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. Those events speak of what is found in the book of 1 Samuel at the end of chapter 21 and into chapter 22. David has yet to become king, but he's already killed Goliath, and with that has brought great triumph. But it also has brought great trouble. King Saul has grown jealous of this young man, David, and he has wished him ill. He has launched a campaign of persecution upon him. Saul wants David dead. And so David flees to Gath and to Achish, the king of Gath. Abimelech is another name for Achish, but he recognizes David and he says, is this not the man that they sang of, that Saul has struck down his thousands, but David has tens of thousands? And when David hears this, he's afraid. Goliath was from Gath, and so before the king of Gath, David pretended to be insane in the hope that they might let him go, thinking he was an insane man. And that's exactly what they do. They let him go and David escapes and he goes and he finds safety in a cave. But within that cave, other men in distress and debt and bitter in soul, they gather together. And so within that cave, David writes these words of Psalm 34. He has fled for his own safety. Saul wants him dead. The king wants him dead. And so he flees to this cave for safety. And he writes these words of Psalm 34. And he opens in verses 1 to 3 with a call to worship. He writes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Even in this moment when my life is at risk, even in this moment when I'm seeking safety in a cave, even then will I praise the Lord. Even in this moment shall the praise of the Lord be in my mouth. You see, worshiping God silently in our hearts is good, but praise ought to also constantly be in our mouths. We're to continually lift up our voices, to come together as the people of God and lift up our voices as one. That's why corporate worship, that's why being together as the church is so important. What does it say throughout the Psalms? Don't worship silently, but time and time again it says, lift up your voices, sing aloud, shout for joy. People of God are to make a noise as we worship and as we praise. And as David praises God in verse 3, he invites others to join in with him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Remember, he's not in this cave alone. Verse 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 22 says, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. We're to praise God as his assembled people. This cave, it's full of people who are running from danger. It's full of people who are in distress, those who are in debt, those who are bitter in soul. And they all come together and they join together to praise God. Rather than focus on the circumstances that they find themselves in, they shift their focus off themselves and upward and onto the one who deserves praise. And I don't know, but maybe your circumstances are hard at the minute. Maybe your heart is in distress. You're maybe suffering grieving. Maybe the cost of living crisis is hitting you and life has become a lot more stressful recently. Maybe you're carrying burdens that you just can't bear. Come to God. Come to worship. Look to Him. Then David goes on in verses 4 to 7 to testify of how when he came to God, God heard him and God answered him. He says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. David sought the Lord and the Lord answered and the Lord delivered him. David cried out and the Lord heard him and the Lord saved him. These are the verses of David's testimony. The testimony of his delivery from the hands of Saul and the king of Gath. God has protected him. God has delivered him. God has saved him. And in that very moment of need when David sought and cried out, God heard and God answered. God delivered and God saved. David was protected by God. And in the midst of the uncertainty and the distress that he has found himself in, he stops to cry out for help to God. And then in verse 7, we find that phrase again that we sing throughout the Psalms. Fear of the Lord. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Fear of the Lord. Those who live with a rightful fear of the Lord, who live in and through Christ. We too can know of this protection and deliverance that David has received. What an assurance, what a hope that in our distress, in our moments of anguish, in our moments of pain, that if we are in Christ, God hears us, He answers us, He delivers us, and He saves us. The testimony of David can be our testimony too. We can say, I cried out in anguish and God heard me. He saved me and he protected me and he delivered me from the pain that I was in. And David is saying, this is who God is. This is what he has done for me. And he moves on to verse 8 to 10 and says, and you too can know him. You too can experience what I have experienced. And he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. David is saying, he has protected me and he has delivered me. But don't just take my word for it. Come and taste it for yourself. Come and know it for yourself. Come and experience and feel and know the goodness of God. You can go to the fanciest restaurant with a Michelin star chef. You can order the best cooked fillet steak, cooked to perfection, which is rare for the record. And it can be brought out to you. It can be served to perfection on a plate. You can have the nicest waiter serve it to you. It can smell great. But until you actually lift that knife and fork and you cut it and you put it in your mouth, you know nothing of what that tastes like. You know nothing of that fillet steak. You have to taste and see. And similarly, we can read of the goodness of God. We can hear of the goodness of God. We can even believe that God is good. But it means absolutely nothing to us until we actually taste and see for ourselves. That great Psalm 119, verse 68, the psalmist says, you are good and you do good. And the psalmist is able to say that because he has tasted it. He has felt